Well, good afternoon, everybody. This is Bob Elson. We're set as usual for our Saturday afternoon show. And it's going to be a busy Saturday in the world of sports, what with baseball playoffs and a lot of football and football on the tube and football on radio. Notre Dame is on radio against Miami, and that should be quite a football game. And then tomorrow, the usual schedule of professional football games. We're going to talk football today with an old friend, Dr. Bill Osmanski, who was an outstanding football player. He's now an outstanding dentist and an old friend of mine. So we have many things to talk about, and he'll be our guest in just about 1 minute. Our guest today is an old friend, Dr. Bill Osmanski, a well-known dentist, but also well-known as an outstanding football player with the Bears. What do you recall, Doc? What are a few of the highlights of your Bear years?
Well, I'd like to recall the fact that we were in 5 world championships and we won 4. The greatest one, I think, was in 1940. We played the Washington Redskins. We had played them 3 weeks prior to that, and it was a play where they had 8 seconds left, first down, where Luckman faked McAfee and Olding into the line, and I ran to the left, blocked their right end, went out the flat, and he threw me a pass. Well, as I was about to grab the pass, someone grabbed my hand, someone hit me from behind, the ball bounced off of my chest, I complained bitterly, and what Mr. Hallis had to say, I couldn't tell you. But anyway, the game ended, and we lost 7-3, didn't score a touchdown. We came back 3 weeks later, played the same team, they had the same defense. And the first play, we found out that the defense was similar, which was 7-4. It was. The second play, I was supposed to go off tackle, but instead of the ends boxing, they crashed. The next thing I knew, I had to go around the end and went for a touchdown, about 70 yards. And then Jack Manders kicked off for us, and Max Krause, not Moose, had the ball. It was going for a touchdown. He caught him from behind about a 32-yard line. They tried 2 running plays. The third play, they threw a pass to Charlie Malone, who dropped in the 2-yard line, and Masterson, a fellow named Masterson, the Redskins, we had a Masterson, the Bears, too, he missed a 32-yard field goal. Third quarter came along, they stopped the game. They said, Bears, come here, Washington Redskins, what's the matter? We had 9 footballs. The Redskins had 5, we had 4. And he said, you've scored 8 touchdowns, you have 1 football left to play the game, practically a half of the game. So he said, no more. The place kicking, drop kicking, you must run a pass with it. We scored 3 more touchdowns, beat them 73-0. I'm going back to the locker room with Sid Luckman. I'm shaking my head and saying how great we feel. I look behind, tall individual was Sammy Baugh. And they looked so dejected. I said, Sam, don't feel badly. He said, Osmanski in his Texas draw, this is the most humiliating thing that happened my entire life. I said, well, think what happened instead of saying if I hadn't caught Krause from behind. I said, think what would have happened if Charlie Malone caught the ball. He said, I did, and scored in 73-7.
Well, what do you notice, and I'm sure you followed the game closely today as a fan, what's the big change in the pro game?
Well, I think the fact that it's a two-platoon system is one of the greatest change. We had, in comparing with the old-timers, we played 60 minutes, as you know, Bob. Offense and defense. In fact, even Sid Luckman played safety, and so did Sammy Bourne, quite a few of them. I think the difference is we had 32 players and 2 coaches. Today they have 32 coaches and maybe 2 players. But they do have a offense and defensive team. And I think the Chicago Bears had a pretty good offensive team and at times a very good defensive team. But something has happened recently which I cannot understand, and they did win last week, and they have a real challenge tomorrow against Minnesota. I do believe that the individual should extend more effort on today's team. From what I could see, I happen to be not only a player, as you know, but also I go to every game and I watch them. And I do think that the Bears could win more games if they work together in one big happy family like we did.
What do you recall about a fellow who was really famous as a quarterback, Sammy Baugh?
Well, I think that one incident was a gem when he said if he'd have caught the ball in 73-7. But this Sammy Baugh could do everything that Sid Luckman could. He could run. He could quick kick. He could drop kick. He could place kick. And he could punt. Now, that's what you call a quarterback. He could do everything.
You know, the quick kick is practically passed out of the game.
I'm sorry to see that because it's a very, very useful offensive play. Because there are many times when you have to, due to many reasons, you have to use the quick kick. The wind with you and things like that. Get the ball away from there. Now they always wait and go 15 yards back and they kick a high one, which is wonderful. But the quick kick, I think, is a very effective weapon. I can't tell you why they're not using it.
I think the same way that you do. It's a tremendous offensive weapon. Did you play all of your years for George Halas?
I certainly did, and I'm glad I did. Mr. Halas was very much interested in me, not only as a football player, but he was interested in my dentistry because he allowed me to go to dental school here at Northwestern. And I would like to say that this, Bob, that we have what I call a Halas University group. Give an idea. There are many successful businessmen, such as Sid Luckman, many others. And there are 10 doctors, 8 physicians, 2 dentists, and 5 with law degrees who graduated from Halas University. So I'm very proud of that.
In other words, he encouraged that.
That's absolutely correct. I knew, as I said, he was interested in me, not only as a football player, but he was interested in my future. And all the other fellas felt that way, and we gave 101%.
George is really a remarkable man. You don't meet many men like that in sports.
He is one of the greatest men that I have ever met, without any question. If you played with the Bears and you were in dire need in some respect, you didn't have to call him. He would find out about it, and he would take care of problems and help solve them. I could name you countless cases where he's done this. He's a great man. He motivated us in many ways, and he taught us that success was a habit. And this we carried on through life. It was his philosophy. And we believe that you protect each other. And at those days, if I missed a tackle or a block, which I thank goodness I didn't, he would fine us $5 or $10. Now, if it went for a touchdown, he may fine us $25. And some of them were making $25, $50 in those days. So I do believe his method of coaching taught us a great deal. Another thing about Mr. Halas, whenever we went out of town or anywhere, we'd be dressed in our coats, our suits, with shirts and ties. And we'd go to New York or California, and they'd say, the Bears are in town. How'd you know that? They're all dressed up, not like some of the other teams. This is way back in those days. So he did teach us a great deal and thought of us that were things we should. He taught us a great deal.
Oh, that's great. He's a marvelous man. You know, Joe McCarthy, the baseball manager, always insisted on that. He never let a Yankee go around without a necktie.
Now you're talking, and I believe this. He even said to some of the fellows who were, they were shy or things like that, he said, take a course in elocution or things like that. And they did. They went to school. Now, he was interested in their future, as I say, and you cannot find a man today who would do that for anyone. He was a great coach, a great psychologist, and a great man. To this day, he's still one of the greatest. I was with him the other day. This gentleman was having his 100th birthday in our building. And we went down, wheeled him down to the thing, we had a big tent out there and a big to-do about this 100th birthday. It's the first Centurion I ever met. And Mr. Halas came up and he said, congratulations to this gentleman. And he said, the man answered, how old are you? He said, I'm going to be 86. And he looked at him straight in the eye and he said, and I'm going to reach 102. That's the attitude he has.
George is a great man.
Yeah. There's no question about it. And, of course, I regret the fact that he is not coaching there again. I wish he could. I mean, this man could contribute a great deal. I think the present coach should go to Mr. Halas and say, is there anything that you can recommend or something like that? Because he is not outdated in any way.
Do you remember the Cardinals used it? I don't recall who was coached. They used a T formation with a shift.
Yes, I do recall that.
They draw a team offside many times.
Well, they do it for many reasons, but I also remember the Cardinals. It's a memory that shouldn't happen. We were playing for the first time, and when I came back from service, we were playing offense and defense in 46-7. We won the world championship against the Giants in 46. In 47, we beat them the first game 28-0. The second game, Jim Conson was their coach, by the way. The second game, they had Chrisman, Demanchev, Harder, and the fellow from Georgia.
Trippy.
Charlie Trippy. The first play, now, I was playing offense with my brother Joe Osmansky, and we'd alternate. And he said, go in when you want to, come out when you want to. But the first play, I could sense it. They sent a man in motion. Demantrov was covered by Mike Holovac. He ran 20 yards beyond him on the first play and scored a touchdown. Now, we lost the game 21-14, but the first play of the third quarter, they did the same thing, and we should have won the game by one touchdown, but it just didn't happen, but we played our hearts out and lost.
Our guest today is an old friend, Dr. Bill Osmansky, a former Bear great. We'll be back with our guest in just a moment. Our guest today is Dr. Bill Osmansky, a former Bear great and now a well-known dentist. Doctor, is there anything to the saying, painless dentistry? It hurts me going up the elevator.
Some individuals have a higher pain threshold than others, that's true. However, dentistry is like anything else, surgery or anything else. If there's an extraction, it must be done. So there is a little, we do have something to numb or to anesthetize the tissue prior to the injection of a needle and so forth. And I think it is practically painless. There's no such thing as painless. If you get pinched, you're pinched. And if it's a little pinch like that, you can feel it slightly. But dentistry has really contributed a great deal to our general health today, because your health begins in your mouth, Bob. And without the proper foods and without chewing, you cannot be healthy. You get ulcers and things of that type. So I do believe that dentistry is a very necessary profession for people to go to see their dentist and have constant checkups, because if you can get something in its infancy, beginning and take care of it before it gets too bad, and then you lose a tooth. If you lose a tooth, then you have problems because your teeth move, unbeknownst to you, and you have off bites, and off bites you have headaches and you have back pains and problems such as this, which can be remedied. So we try to give the ultimate health. We say that the ultimate health begins in the mouth.
Doctor, getting back to football, what have you noticed today in the difference of football equipment as to your time?
Well, there's no question. We had leather helmets. We had shoulder pads, hip pads, and helmets. That's about it. No face guards. Today, they are protected beautifully. I don't know a thing about this grass they have today. We had ordinary grass. Wrigley Field was a great place to play. The thing was well taken care of. We love the turf. Now they have this AstroTurf, which I cannot say a thing about because I never played on it. But it evidently is creating problems there. The helmet is as hard as steel because it's made out of a plastic or nylon. I think they should cover the helmet with a soft liner on top, besides inside is covered with a soft. But also, so the impact is given, I don't think that Gale Sayers would have been out of the game if it was a soft helmet, because he was hit by a helmet, this friend, when he was put out of commission. I do believe that the equipment is, there are too many things. They have the face guard. You have to grab the face guard or things like that. We never had face guards. We had injuries, but they weren't serious. But this could be a weapon, the face guard as well. They should change that in some way. Maybe make one bar out instead of multiple bars where it's steel covered by rubber. And the helmet's practically steel. So it is a very dangerous, but it's protective to a great degree.
I've heard people say, and I don't agree with it, that pro football is a dirty game. I've never seen it that way.
Bob, pro football is a game where you give out every bit of energy you have to tackle a man. Now, some people say, well, he's a dirty player because he's flying through the air, and he tackles someone before, he has the ball, and he's flying through the air, and he attempts. Now, the whistle blows, but he's still in the air, and he hits the man. You know who I'm talking about, Plank. He is a great defensive man. He's not a dirty player. He's playing football. I wish the rest of them would play football like Plank.
Yeah, that's right. Was there the feeling between the Bears and Green Bay in your days? Has it lasted all this time?
That's been the greatest rivalry. I remember Mr. Hallis would say, if we win this game, we'll win the championship. And it worked. I also recall that a few of the boys like a beer once in a while. But if we won the game, Mr. Hallis gave him a beer. When they came home on the train. And if we didn't, you wouldn't get it.
Wasn't there a character on Green Bay by the name of Buckus? What was it, Goldenberg?
Buckets Goldenberg. He was the littlest man I've ever known in football. But, you know, he made up for his smallness by his submarining. Bulldog Turner had more problems with this guy blocking him. Bulldog was a great blocker. But he would submarine under Bulldog. So this one day, Bulldog Turner said, "Bill, you come right on over me." He said, "I know what I'll do." So as he submarined, he fell on top of him, and I had to run over Bulldog Turner's back. And he said, with cleats on, he said, "Bill, no more of that."
Has the game, as you watch it and your interest in it today, I know, is as keen as it was when you were a player. Are there any notable changes in the game?
Quite a few. I think we had, as I said, we had two coaches and 32 players. Today they have around 45 players, and I would say maybe 15 coaches. I'm not sure of that number, but it's approximately that. And it's good. They're trained. They're differently trained today, Bob. They have this beautiful, by the way, if you ever want to see a most complete gymnasium to take care of, I mean, to strengthen yourself, go to Hallis Hall. Lake Forest here, and I've been there a couple of times, and I only wish we had the advantage these fellows have today to become stronger, to become healthier, because they have everything there in their favor, and I'm sure that makes them quicker players, faster players, quicker in a blocking and tackling, and also stronger when they have to be.
Were you part of the Nagurski area?
Yes, I played 1 year with the Bronc. In fact, the Bronc and I have a similar record. We both have averaged 4.8 yards per carry in our lifetime, which I think is pretty good. I think Peyton is a great fullback. I wouldn't call him a halfback. He's more of a fullback. I believe his present yardage is 4.5 for his lifetime.
What about the Grange years?
Well, I knew Red, and I didn't play with Red. In fact, Red was one of the coaches when I first came there in 1939, and evidently Red had a great past at that time, and Red's down in Florida now. I see him on occasions. I go down to Florida once in a while, and we get together. But there's no question that Grange started professional football. People came to see him play because he was such a great athlete at the University of Illinois. And this helped make professional football. And Mr. Hallis then carried on from there. And I'm sure now, I think they had about 8 teams in those years. Now they have 28 or something like that. So it's developed quite a bit. And it's also a means to an end to many individuals. Without football, I would not have had the opportunity to go to Northwest University Dental School. Because I came from a very poor family. Mother had 8 children, 6 girls, my brother Joe and I. And this was a means to an end for me, and I certainly am very thankful to football, and especially Mr. Hallis, for allowing me to go get my profession of dentistry through his means.
What do you recall about the Lombardi year?
That was after my time. I remember Vince, he was a very strict disciplinarian. I think every coach should be a disciplinarian. However, today, some of these youngsters don't want discipline, and they won't take it. They will not cope with it. Some of them will, some won't. But Vince Lombardi was very similar to Mr. Hallis. He would tell you, this is it. If you don't do this, you're fined. And it wasn't much of a fine, but it made you think. And if you thought about it, then you won't make that mistake again. And he was a great team man. He believed that winning was a habit, as Mr. Hallis does and always has, and he always believed that no matter if it's an exhibition game, you give out 100%. And I admire Vince Lombardi very much. He has given quite a bit to professional football, and I'm sure that we'll always remember the things he said and done, because he had great teams during his reign. And I think comparing it to Mr. Hallis, I think no question, Mr. Hallis has won more football games than anybody else, any other coach in the history of football.
Who was the coach of the Cardinals during your day?
We had, at first I'm trying to think who the heck it was.
I'm talking about during the...
Jimmy Conselman?
No, Conselman. Well, Conselman was an outstanding coach.
Jim Conselman was also a great psychologist, too. But prior to that, they had other coaches. I'm trying to think they were there maybe 2 or 3 years. But I recall one time the owner of the Cardinals, Charlie Bidwell, would sit on our bench. And I didn't mind the first time, second time, but I was curious. So after about 2 years of this, I went up to Mr. Bidwell and said, "Pardon me, Mr. Bidwell, don't you own the Cardinals?" He said, "Yes." I said, "What are you doing on our bench?" "It's none of my business, but I was just curious." He said, "Bill, my money's over with the Cardinals, but my heart's with the Chicago Bears."
That was a tremendous rivalry for years, the Cardinals and the Bears.
That was the inter-city rivalry, and I wish it still would continue. There's still a little inkling of it when they come up here from St. Louis, because the Bidwells, Stormy's brother, still owns a Billy Bidwell.
Did you participate in that game the day of the famous snowstorm?
No, I'm trying to think. There were many snowstorms we had.
Well, this was the worst snowstorm of all time. They wondered whether they'd be able to play the game.
Oh, yes, yes, we did. And all you could do then was high diddle-diddle with a halfback, a fullback up the middle. And we kept back and forth. We could hardly pass, because if you caught the pass, you couldn't run. And you had to just... And we had mud cleats, by the way. It was the only change. We had regular cleats, which were about a half an inch, and the mud cleats are about three-quarters of an inch. And they're supposed to help, but the snow and ice was so thick, you couldn't.
What about your impression of the Bears today? How good are they?
I went to training camp a couple of times, Bob, and I saw them. I was impressed, especially with the offensive line. I knew they had a pretty good defense. But then when they played against the Green Bay Packers, I just couldn't believe I saw the same team. There was something radically wrong. I don't know what it is, what it was. But they could not turn Peyton loose. And the defense that the Packers had evidently stopped Peyton, and they couldn't score. I just couldn't believe it, because I came back with the feeling that we had a great offensive line, but it faltered. I don't know where it went. I saw them against New Orleans, and I said, great, of course, they did get to Manning, Archie Manning, and that is ethical when you sack somebody five or six times, he has to leave the game. And I thought they were tremendous, but there's something going on I can't tell you, Bob. I wish I knew. In fact, I feel as though I could go down there sometimes and help myself, but you just can't do that. Help the team myself. But there's something going on. I don't know what it is. These players should make up their mind. They should have pride in being a Chicago Bear. They should have pride in execution. They should block and tackle, because they can do it. And defensively the same way. Surely we just acquired two new men on defense, one a corner defensive man and another safety man. I think they'll be playing at Minnesota tomorrow. And I hope they will help, because I do still feel as though the Bears are a great, powerful football team. I know they can do it if they want to.
Doctor, thanks very much for being our guest today and for taking the time to be with us.
Bob, it's a pleasure seeing you, and keep up the good work.
Thank you. Our guest today has been Dr. Bill Osmanski, a prominent dentist and a former Bear great. Remember, there's a lot of activity today on radio and on television. Notre Dame is up against Miami today, and they say that's going to be a real tough game. Anyway, have a nice weekend, and now this is Bob Elson saying goodbye until next Saturday at our usual time. Well, good afternoon, sports fans. This is Bob Elson, and today on the Sports Scrapbook, we're talking with Dr. Bill Osmanski, former Chicago Bear football great, and he has an interesting story to tell about the Bears' 1940 championship game. By the way, Bill, what happened in that game? Thank you, Bill, for sharing some great memories from your Hallis days. And sports fans, I hope you'll join us next time on the Bob Elson Sports Scrapbook, brought to you by Northwest Federal Savings.